We'll take the liberty and read the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye are come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come.
We are on the precipice of an important meeting with our Lord and our God tonight. And I don't know how that makes us feel. Hopefully we want to be prepared. And I know as oftentimes it works out, before a communion, there's a visit goes around and the questions are made and answers are given and there's a preparation made. And we're here tonight to make final preparation for this moment, this time, this sacred couple of hours that we're together and pour over God's word and allow God's love to pour into us. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of proving. Proving, then approving. Introspect. It's looking inward. And it's not limited to this moment. We can look into our lives and we can recognize where we are, where we've been. And a self-examination is something that can happen, should happen every day. Each one around this table tonight has answered some questions. You knelt down in the water at your baptism and you answered the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he brought from heaven a saving gospel? And you said yes. Another question was presented, do you willingly renounce Satan and all of his pernicious ways? And you said yes. And a third question was asked and said, do you covenant with God in Christ Jesus to live faithful unto death? And you said, yes. Ponder those questions through this time. The Apostle Paul starts out and he says, be ye followers of me. And that can sound a little presumptuous. Who of us would say, be ye followers of me? But he goes on and he says, even as I also am of Christ. Follow me like I follow Christ. And the admonition for my heart is that I shouldn't follow another man farther than he follows Christ. We need each other. And we're privileged to have each other. As I look at this 11th chapter that our brother so nicely read to us, there's a word comes to my mind, and the word is order. Order. He says in the second verse, remember me in the things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you. In other words, keep order in the house of God. And then he goes on and gives the order from God to Jesus Christ, to man, to woman. And this world that we live in loves to mix all that up and put authorities and responsibilities out of place. Order. Tonight, as I look around these tables, I see our brothers sitting here, like the word says, with their heads uncovered. And as I look at you sisters, I see, like the word says, you're here with your head covered. Order. We see order tonight. The 11th verse says, nevertheless is man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. In all of that order, each one has the privilege. And a direct connection to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us common access to our Lord. And I trust tonight you will use that access that you have to speak to your Lord and to bear your heart. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. God created man, and he laid that man down, and out of his side he took a woman. Woman is of the man. But every one of us here tonight were born of a woman. It's just natural. But all of that aside, we do all to the glory of God. It's what the scripture says. But all things of God, all things we do, all things, all order is of God. And no less tonight. Seventeenth verse says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. And if we just look at those words, it can kind of twist us up. But really what I think he's saying is you've come together, and your coming together is not for your betterment. We want to come together for our betterment, for our spiritual health and well-being. And that's what we're here for. And that's what we examine our hearts for, to prepare for that. So how is my heart tonight? How is my heart tonight? How is it ordered? How is it tempered? What is the temperament of my heart toward this evening and toward the events that we hope to partake in? Do we come with solemnness, sobriety, and with soberness? I think we do. I trust we do. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove yourself, your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. This isn't something that I can do for you or you can do for me. There's evidences that show out from our lives that we are faithful, that there's faith in our hearts. But the reality of it is, we need to search our hearts and come clean and honest and open before God. It says, except ye be reprobates, a fake, a facade, a put on, a counterfeit, if you will. The reality of it is, God knows. And he just wants us to tell him where we're at and be honest about that. As we look into our hearts, we can see our weaknesses. I do. But we can also look into our hearts and we can see that faith. That thing that brings us power, that empowers us to face our God, to face our fears, to face our sins. And to come before a God who is gracious and loves us. First John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 27 of the chapter says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. There was probably a time in my life where I thought that word was unworthy. Or I equated it to the word of worthiness. But it says unworthily. And I looked that word up, and that word is an adverb that describes an action. Worth, or worthiness, worth, I guess, is an adjective that describes something or a person. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, irreverently, without due regard for the merit. How is our heart ordered tonight? Do we recognize the value of what we're about to partake of and what we're about to do? And in the presence of whom we're about to do it? How does the Apostle Paul say it? When I would do good, evil was present. And that I would do, I do not. Something to that effect. I can't say it verbatim. We could turn to it, but for the interest of time, we're not. Well, maybe I'm going to turn to part of it because I want to get the next chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And thanks be to God for that. The law of the Spirit of Christ Jesus makes us free. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Another verse says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Romans says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I've heard it said, I think Brother Kenny Hopkins says it this way, a living sacrifice just wants to squirm and get off of that altar. He's still alive. And we want to resist that too many times. But tonight we want to come clean before our Lord. Hebrews says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God. We don't want to do that. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. We want to come reverently, worthily, not unworthily, before our God tonight. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup. Examine himself. That's what we're doing. Our brother beside us is not examining our heart, nor are we examining his heart. We're solo tonight. With the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. Examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. So what is the context of our examination? We're looking at our heart. We're preparing our heart to come worthily before our Lord. And we don't have to look very far, and we meet up with something we call the flesh. And I've looked at that word flesh, and if you turn it around backwards, what you have is a capital letter I that is bowed down to self. Draw that out and look at it. The capital letter I is bowed down to self. That's what the flesh wants to do. But tonight we want to lay down the flesh. We want to raise up Jesus Christ. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, or without reverence, irreverently, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're making a judgment against ourselves. A decision against, if we, this damnation is a decision against ourself if we don't honor what the word says and take of this worthily. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep, which means are dead. Well, nobody here is dead tonight in the physical sense, but we could be weak and we could be sickly in the spirit. We could be dead in the spirit, and that possibility exists, I suppose. But I believe with preparation and prayer and leaning into the power of God, there is life in this place and in your heart. And if there's dead spots in your hearts, and there very well could be dead spots in our heart, allow the Lord Jesus to work on that and to bring it to life. To his glory. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, we could get a little tangled up in these three judges, judge words. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Examine ourselves. We should not be judged, condemned. We should not be condemned. But when we judged in the sense of considered or called into question, when there is a judgment, when we are called into question, we are chastened of the Lord. We are trained, we are instructed, we are disciplined. Or there's a disciplinary action that orders our heart when we allow God to do that. And He is good and He is faithful and He can do it better than we can. And He will. Hebrews says, my son, and we can say tonight, or daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. This in no way diminishes our need to deal with sin. Sin is sin, and God knows it, and we know it. And He wants us to call it what it is, and it must be ordered out of our lives and away from our lives. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I take confidence in that. He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Another place says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think we get the point. And we already know. We're sinners in the flesh, but we're saints in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for that. How is your heart ordered tonight? Is it ordered? Is it reverent? Are you ready to face and to handle the bread and the cup and to meet your brothers and sisters with the various things we're going to do in foot washing and the Lord's Supper and the kiss? I hope we're soon ready. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is your strength, is your courage, is your shield, because He is the source of all life. He is the atoning blood. Jesus Christ spilled His blood for us, and it atones for all that we find when we search and we order our hearts in preparation for this communion tonight. There's a thing in the world called temptation. The Bible talks about it. Temptation in itself is not sin. But what we do and how we deal with that temptation and what we allow that temptation to do determines whether it's sin or not. For we have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I think we're ready to go to prayer. One or two of the brethren will pray. And you can track along with that prayer if you choose to. Or you can have your own prayer and come to God in your own way. And I believe He'll hear our hearts and help us to order our hearts in preparation for this communion tonight. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all of the earth. We just invite You into this place tonight. We know You're here, but we invite You into our hearts, into the deepest recesses of our hearts. We want to fling open wide every door, every cavity, every access that we have, that we may have kept concealed. Tonight we want to open it up before you, open our hearts before you, and allow you to order our hearts in preparation for this communion service. Father, you know who we are. You know our frames. You know that we're dust. But you also have taken us and you've lifted us out of the miry pits and you've placed our feet on the rock, the solid rock, Jesus Christ. And for that, we are grateful. If there's times we slip and we falter and we fail, and there are, Lord, continue to be gracious to us, to continue to show mercy and love, that our hearts not condemn us and we just completely give up. We desire strength from you where strength is needed, that you would take our weaknesses and you would turn them into strong places where the energy and the effort is spent for you. Forgive us where we fail. Ever cleanse us by the precious blood of Jesus. In his precious name we pray tonight. Amen.
Thou shepherd of Israel and mine, the joy and desire of our heart, for closer communion we pine, we long to reside where thou art. The pasture we languish to find, where all who their shepherd obey are fed, on your bosom reclined and screened from the heat of the day. Father, if you would continue to be with us, our musings, as our introspections continue, as we gaze upon you, as we experience this love, as we express this love even to those that sit around us, Father, we just pray that we would be fed this evening. We know you are continually feeding as we continually come with hunger and desire to be where you are. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.